Samuel chapter 15. We will look in verse 12. But we will also look in a few other verses today, all in 2 Samuel. We'll look first in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12. The title of my message this morning is Harboring a Vengeful Spirit. Harboring a Vengeful Spirit. One day there was a man, he was out on a walk. And out of nowhere, this dog came out and bit him on the leg. Well, this man, of course, he went to the hospital. And when he got to the doctor said, "Well, sir, I'm sorry, there's nothing that we can do for you at this time. I can try and make this just as pain-free as I can and as comfortable as I can, but I'm afraid that within a few days, this is probably going to eventually take your life. So it would probably be a good thing and a good idea for you to go ahead and make some final preparations before you pass on while you're still able." And so the man asked for a piece of paper and a pen, and he began to write some things down. Well, the doctor left and was gone just for a little while, and he came back, and the man was still writing down. And so the doctor came in, he said, "I see you are still preparing your final wishes, and maybe you're preparing your will or something like that." And he said, "No." He said, "I'm not doing that." And the doctor said, "Well, what is it that you've been writing all this time?" He said, "Well, I've been writing a list of the name of the people that I want to bite before I die." Yeah. He was writing the list of names of people that he was going to bite before. He said, "Look, if I'm going out, I'm taking some people out with me that I don't like." Harboring a vengeful spirit. All of us at some time, some events or whatever has come in our lives, and we've kind of had that. I believe we've all agreed, we've all maybe harbored a vengeful spirit or wanted to get revenge or unforgiving, you know, have an unforgiving spirit or a bitter spirit or things like that about us. But this man, he had a vengeful spirit. He wanted to make sure that before he left this world, that he got back at everybody that hurt him, or he got back at everybody that crossed him in some way. And all of us at some point in our life have also been that way, wanted to get revenge, so to speak, to get back at maybe that one that done us in. Well, I want to just talk to you a little bit about this morning, about harboring a vengeful spirit. Harboring a vengeful spirit. A vengeful spirit is actually just the fruit of really something that's more sinister. A vengeful spirit actually is just the fruit of something that is actually deeper within ourselves. Revenge and hate and envy, these kinds of things are really what we call the fruit of bitterness. The fruit of bitterness, hate and envy and vengeance and all these things are really just the fruit. They're the apples that are on the tree, so to speak. The apples that are on the tree. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you'd like. But the Bible says this, "Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." The root of bitterness. And so what it is in our lives that causes hate, what it is in our lives that causes vengeance and envy and these kinds of things, those are just the fruits of something that's actually something that's far more deeper within ourselves. And the Bible calls it the root of bitterness. Now, where is the root located? It's underground, right? Yeah, the root is located underground, and it's something that you normally don't see with the naked eye. Something that you can't see. And so the Bible calls that the root of bitterness. It's something that's inside that nobody else sees. But over time, the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 12, but over time what can happen is if that root is not destroyed, what will happen is that the fruit of that root will manifest itself. And it will spring up, and it'll be a trouble for you. It'll spring up and it'll be a trouble for you, and it'll probably be a trouble for a host of many other folks as well. And the fruit of that root of bitterness will be hate, and vengeance and envy and all these kinds of things. And so the Bible teaches us that we need to, it teaches us where these things come from. And it comes from within. And the best way to get rid of that and destroy that, we will talk about here in just a little bit. But it's called the root of bitterness because it is hidden within the soils of our heart. It is right there. Something that nobody can see. I don't know how many of us this morning, maybe sitting here today, that may have the root of bitterness within us, is sitting in that pew that nobody else sees, nobody else knows about. But one of these days, if that root is not destroyed, one of these days, the fruit will begin to manifest itself in your life. And it'll not only be seen by you, but it'll be seen by others who are around you as well. The root of bitterness. And from this, what happens in our hearts as this root begins to, as it takes root in our lives and it begins to spring up and trouble our lives, what happens is the root, what do roots do? Have you ever seen a root? Have you ever pulled something, like pulled a plant out of the ground, or maybe you see a tree that's fell over? What does the root look like? Well, I'll tell you what, it's got little things that are just going, the roots is just springing everywhere, right? Yeah, going all over the place. And you know what happens is you have that root of bitterness in your life and it infiltrates and spreads to every part of your life. To every part of your life. And it grabs a hold of you. And what does the root live on? Why, it lives on what is inside of its heart, right? It lives on what's inside the ground. That's where it gets, that's where it lives. That's where it gets its nutrients from. That's where it gets what it needs to survive. Well, if you have in your heart, if you have in your heart a root of bitterness, if you harbor some terrible things in your life and in your heart, what's going to happen is that root's going to feed off those things. And it's going to grow inside your life and in your heart. And it's going to infiltrate itself in every part of your life. And it's going to then begin to manifest itself in various parts of your life. And not only will you be able to see it eventually, but eventually those that are around you will be able to see it as well. And so it is this root of bitterness that is within us that begins to spring up and overshadow our lives and the lives of others. As I said, a root is usually something that is not seen, but over time it is something that becomes noticeable to everybody else. When you have a vengeful spirit, it is often seen and felt by those who are around you, and it can be eventually expressed. Anger, as I stated, is not a fruit of bitterness. Anger, you know, the Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. So being angry is not a fruit of bitterness, but wrath is. Wrath is, and hate is. But anger is not a, you know, everybody gets angry from time to time, right? Anybody here ever been mad? Yeah, I believe we've all been mad. Yeah, we've all been angry. Yeah, but just because you get angry doesn't mean that you have a bitter, vengeful spirit. But if you don't be careful, what will end up happening is a root will start to grow in your life. And that anger won't be anger no more. It'll turn to hate. And that hate will turn to wrath. And the Bible talks about how hate and wrath are preludes to actually murder. Preludes to actually murder. And so we got to get these things under control in our lives. Where does bitterness come from? Well, bitterness can be the result of lots of things that's happened in our life. I'm sure all of us here this morning have had all kinds of events or things take place in our life that maybe have at one time gave birth to this bitter spirit that we have in our lives. And it could have been something that was really rooted then, whenever you was a little child, or began to root itself within you when you was a teenager. Events taking place. Somebody said something about you, and somebody done something about you here, and somebody done, you know, all kinds of things that have taken place. And that root began to spring up, and it began to grow. And from then all the way till now, into our adult lives, that root has been there. It has been there, just sapping every single bit of our strength. We go to the store. And we think about what this person done. We think about what that person said. We come over here. We're laying in the bed at night. We think about it. It's just something that just seems to always be there. And that root of bitterness is just spreading itself into our whole lives, infiltrating our whole, every being of our bodies, into our minds and our hearts. In essence, really choking the life out of us. And all we can do is just think about this root of bitterness and that we have in our hearts. And that bitterness begins to, over time, give birth to hate and envy and all these kinds of things. Bitterness also affects our relationships. It affects our relationships with our spouse. It affects our relationships with our children. If you don't root out the bitterness that's in our lives, and if we don't get that out of our lives, what's going to happen is as it begins to bear fruit to hate, our kids are going to be able to see that in our lives. They're going to know that they're going to know that daddy doesn't like so and so. They're going to know that daddy really hates this person. They're going to know that mama doesn't like her. They're going to know all these kinds of things. Why? Well, because what's going to happen is as this bitter spirit begins to spring up and trouble us, it's going to trouble our children as well. And what's going to happen is as that bitter spirit springs up and the hate is seen and the hate is heard, our children will see that. And our friends will see that. And our families will see that. And it'll trouble them as well. And that thing will grow up and it'll just infect and it'll spread every part of our lives and other lives as well. We're going to talk about a man this morning by the name of Ahithophel. Anybody ever heard of him? Raise your hand. Ahithophel in the Bible. A couple of you have. Ahithophel. We're going to look at his life this morning. And I believe as we look at his life, you will see this morning what bitterness and a vengeful spirit can do to a person's life. If you don't get rid of bitterness in your life and you keep that hate and you keep all that unforgiveness and you keep all that mess in your life, we're going to look at a man today whose name was Ahithophel. He kept all this stuff in his life and it ended up destroying him. And so we're going to take a look at him this morning. And the first time that we see him is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about him. 5. Done got you turned around. 2 Samuel 15, verse 12. 2 Samuel 15, verse 12. Notice what the Bible says. The first time he is mentioned. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilgal. He offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increase continually with Absalom. The first place, the first time that we see Ahithophel mentioned in the Bible gives us a little bit of information about Ahithophel. We see that the Bible says that Ahithophel was one of David's counselors. He was one of David's friends. He was a man that David went to for advice. He was a man that David trusted in. He was a man that David looked at as a friend. Not only that, but we see that he was also a religious man. Because what was happening in verse 12, whenever Absalom, who is David's son, sent for Ahithophel, what was Ahithophel doing? The Bible says that he was making sacrifices. He was doing the daily duties of serving God, sacrificing to the Lord, honoring God. That's what he was doing. And you say, well, what's going on here? Well, we see a man who was trusted by David. We see a man who was a counselor. We see a man who was a good friend of David. We see a man who, he's a religious man. Man, he wants to serve God. He wants to better himself. You know, he seems to be a man that is just a real good, honest man, a good loving man. The next thing that we see about him, a little bit more about his character, flip over in chapter 16. Just a little bit more about his character, chapter 16, verse 23. We see that Ahithophel was a trusted man. He was a good friend of David. We also see that he was a religious man. He served God. But another thing that we see about Ahithophel is in chapter 16, verse 23. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom," which was David's son. And so we see that Ahithophel was a man that was trusted by David. He was a good friend. He was a man that, man, when you went to talk to him, you just knew that he was going to give you some good, godly advice. You just knew he was going to be a man that was going to help you in all your troubles. He was a counselor. He was an advisor. Man, what a great man it sounds like Ahithophel is. But all we see is the outside. All we see is the outside of what he is. But see, there's something else that's going on in Ahithophel's life that they don't nobody else know about. You see, Absalom came to Ahithophel for advice because Absalom was turning against his father. Absalom was turning against his father and was going to try to dethrone David. And so he went to Ahithophel because he knew Ahithophel had something against his dad. And you say, well, what was that? What did Ahithophel have against David? You remember what David did with Bathsheba? Yeah. Had an affair with her, didn't he? That's exactly right. Then he had her husband killed in battle, didn't he? Well, Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. And so years prior to this, David slept with Ahithophel's granddaughter, caused a big stink there. Had her husband killed in battle. Not only that, but what happened to their son? God's judgment came upon them and that little baby died. And so his grandson, he had to watch his grandson die. His granddaughter was taken advantage of. And not only that, but her husband was killed, was murdered in battle on purpose by David. And so Ahithophel had a lot against David in his heart. But you know what? He had all this going on in his life. But what was he doing whenever Absalom came to him to find him? He was making sacrifices to God. He was going through the routine, going through the motions, coming to church, doing all these things. Nobody could see what was going on in here. And that root of bitterness was in there. And that hate was doing everything it could to get out. That vengeful spirit was doing everything it could to get out of him. And it was pressing up against him so much so, I believe he was probably about to bust out of his chest. And so he had a lot against David because of what he had done to his family. But you know what? Now the opportunity had come. The opportunity was coming. Absalom is dethroning his dad. And now he's coming to me for advice. Now what kind of advice do you think Ahithophel's going to give? Because he already don't like what David has done to him. So what kind of advice do you think Ahithophel's going to give his son who was already seeking to dethrone his father? Yeah, that's right. He ain't going to give him good advice, is he? He's going to give him some advice that's going to benefit his own self. That's exactly what he's going to do. But let me ask you this, before we move on. How many of you here this morning, as we've done seen, Ahithophel was making sacrifices and honoring God, going through the rituals, going through the motions, while he was serving God. How many of us here this morning are doing the same thing? Just going through the motions, harboring that vengeful spirit, harboring that unforgiving spirit that we have within ourselves because of some event or because of what somebody said or what somebody done. I believe a lot of folks, not just here, but I mean everywhere, in churches all over the place, maybe have these things that they're harboring in their lives while at the same time they're serving God. Well, this is something that we have to stop. And you say, well, why is that? It's something that you need to root out today before we take part in the Lord's Supper here. But it's something we have to get out of our lives, because if we don't, it'll destroy us and it'll destroy the folks that are around us. It'll destroy our families. It'll destroy our churches. It'll destroy lots of things. And we're going to see what all this vengefulness and this bitter spirit did to Ahithophel and his family, because this root of bitterness was not dealt with. You say, well, he had a very good reason. You say, well, look what he did. Man, he slept with my granddaughter. Man, he took advantage of her. Man, my grandson died. He had her husband killed in battle. Man, he has very good reason to be vengeful and wrathful. Very good reason to get back at him. Well, some of us, we're vengeful for far less. We're vengeful for a whole lot far less. But let me ask you this. When Jesus was right there, what were you guilty of? When he was right there, what were we guilty of? Would the Lord Jesus be correct in saying, you know what, I'm on this cross. Look what everybody has done to me. They don't care about me. They don't care about serving me. They don't care about worshiping me. They can care less. So I just need to come down from this cross and everybody can just go to where they belong. But he didn't do that, did he? No. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Well, let's look at what Ahithophel did. Ahithophel, the next time we see him, gives David some very bad advice. Gives Absalom some very bad advice. And we're going to take a look at what he said. I'm going to give you several truths this morning on some things that we can learn what a vengeful spirit does. What does a vengeful spirit do? Well, I'm going to give you several things this morning. You can write these down. The first truth is it destroys like a disease. It destroys like a disease from the inside out. Man, it destroys like a disease. For a few years now, the continuous thoughts of David and what he has done to him and his family, how he had disgraced them, how he had dishonored them, how he had tore up his whole family. For years now, as all this has been building up inside of his life and just ready to explode, all this has been building up. We see that it was destroying him on the inside like a disease. And it was literally a disease that was eating him alive. Towards one of his best friends. To one of his best friends. David called him in the book of Psalms a familiar friend. David called Ahithophel a familiar friend. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that familiar there has the idea of peace. And that word friend there means great champion. And so what David was saying about Ahithophel was he was saying, you know what? Ahithophel, not only is he my counselor and my advisor, but man, he is a great, peaceful, champion friend that I have. He's my best friend. My best friend. Hear that, a best friend do you wrong? Some of you have. Maybe some of you have. David said, he's my champion friend. But even though Ahithophel was his champion friend, whenever he saw Bathsheba over there, it's like he just forgot about all that. Just forgot about all that. But yet he was his champion friend, and he done his champion friend wrong. Done his champion friend wrong. Done Uriah wrong. And you know why he done that? Because David wasn't where he was supposed to be. And if we'll be where we're supposed to be, maybe it'll help us from doing these things that are so wrong. But he was a champion friend. David and Ahithophel, man, they talked together. They walked together. They served together. They fought together. They served God together. They worshiped together. Man, done all of these things. But just underneath the surface, man, as they done all these things together, just underneath the surface, man, right up underneath the skin was that root of bitterness that was growing up in his life towards David. That root of bitterness that was there that was saying, one of these days, when the time comes, you are going to get your own. You are going to get it one of these days. And maybe I'll be the one to do it. Maybe I'll just be that one to do it. And so they've done all these things together, and all this was building up in his life. And the cause of it all was a bitter, vengeful spirit that he had. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 tells us, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Because everything we say or do has a negative or a positive reaction. Negative or positive. Whoever would have thought that what we're fixing to look at here in a few minutes, whoever would have thought that what David did, this one sin that he committed with Bathsheba, whoever would have thought that act right there would have had such a consequence, not only in his life, but in everybody's life that was around him and the whole nation of Israel altogether. And so that's why it's so important that we understand that not only do the decisions that we make in our personal lives affect us, but they affect everybody else as well. And what David did, he was wrong in what he did, but what he did had tremendous consequences. Tremendous consequences. And so the truth destroys like a disease from the inside out. And it was literally eating Ahithophel alive on the inside. Second truth is, it makes desperate decisions. It makes desperate decisions. Look at verse 31. chapter 15, verse 31. I didn't put my chapter, so I forgot where it was at. Verse 31. Notice what happened. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Why would David pray that? Because he knew what Ahithophel was good for. He knew that Ahithophel was good for giving advice. And he knew that he was a respected man among the people. And Absalom knew that Ahithophel would have something against his father because of what everybody knew happened. Plus, he was a respected man. And if I can get a respected man on my side, yeah, I'll have a little bit more strength among the people. And so what I'll do is I'll conceive something against my father, and I'll get Ahithophel on my side, and when everybody sees that I have a respected man on my side, we'll be able to get him. And so David began to pray. Whenever he heard what Ahithophel was doing, David began to pray that his advice would be turned into foolishness. But Ahithophel had made a desperate decision in turning from God, in turning from his friend, and turning against him. And that's what a vengeful spirit does. It makes us, it encourages us to make desperate decisions. And when the right opportunity came by, Ahithophel joined in with this rebellion that Absalom had. And all the bitterness and all the hate that Ahithophel had held on to for so long now had the opportunity to manifest itself against the one that he didn't like the most. Against the one that had done so much against him. Against the one that had defiled his family. And so his intense emotions caused him to make a desperate decision. Anybody ever done that? That's exactly right. Made a desperate decision. An emotional, desperate decision. And lots of times these desperate decisions that we make that are the basis of a vengeful, unforgiving spirit don't do anybody any good whatsoever. The third truth is, vengeance is devoted to deceit. It is devoted to deceit. Look at verses 20 to 22. Chapter 16, verses 20 to 22. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said, Absalom, go in unto your father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear what thou art abhorred of thy father. And then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Why would Ahithophel tell Absalom, look, your father's done run out of the city. Your dad's done ran out of the city with 600 men. Man, he's fleeing for his life. Well, why would Ahithophel tell Absalom what you need to do is you need to go in and sleep with your father's concubines? Why would he tell him that? Or what did David do with Bathsheba? Yeah. I'm going to get back at him. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to have the same thing done to him that he done to me and my family. So Absalom, what you need to do to dishonor and disgrace your father? And of course, he never told Absalom, I'm just giving you this advice because of what I have in here. Absalom, what you need to do, because he has disgraced and dishonored everything, he said, what you need to sleep with your father's concubines and let everybody know about it. You make sure everybody knows about it. Why? Because that was how Ahithophel's family was dishonored and disgraced. Because it became a public thing known throughout all the people. And he and Ahithophel wanted the same thing to happen to David that David brought on his family. And so that's exactly what Absalom did. The Bible says in the verses after the ones that we have read, notice he says in verse 22, so they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. Upon the king's house, they made an area up there. And Absalom went in to his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And so he defied his father. He defied his God. He defied all these things. See, man, he was getting David by the throat in front of all the people. The fourth truth is that it demands death. Vengeance demands death. Look what happened in chapter 17, verse 1. After this tremendous advice that Ahithophel just gave, notice what he says there in chapter 17. He says, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. Oh, let me tell you what. I'll take care of this problem that you have." But it's really a problem that he's got on here. "Oh, I'll take care of this problem you got, David. Oh, don't you worry about it. You just give me the men. You give me the means. You give me the power. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it, Absalom. I can take care of this for you." No, what he's wanting to do is take care of his own problem. Take care of what he had on the inside. You see, his good wasn't for the benefit. Ahithophel's goodness that he was showing wasn't for the benefit of anybody else, but for himself. And that's exactly what a vengeful spirit will do. It won't think about nobody else. A vengeful spirit thinks about yourself. Why? Because what does revenge mean? It means you want to get revenge on somebody else for something they have done to you. And that's what a vengeful spirit does. A vengeful spirit just wants to get you back. It just wants to make you feel better, regardless of whoever else is going to hurt. That makes no difference. And so it says, you give me the means, you give me the power, and this is what's going to happen. He says, I'll go down there and we'll get him. Notice verse 2, 17. He says, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And what is the last part of verse 2? And I will smite the king only. He says, oh man, we'll get down there and all his men will scatter because they'll see the 12,000 men we got coming after. And they'll all leave. And then I'll go down there and I'll kill the king myself. That's what he wanted all the time. That's what he wanted all the time, was to take care of David himself. It was all about him. It was never about Israel. It was never about anything else except for himself. And that's what a vengeful, unforgiving, hateful, envious spirit does. It's all about me. It's all about me. So what happens next? What happens next? Well, we're going to look here in just a little bit what this... And as we close here in just a few minutes, what happens with Ahithophel whenever he doesn't get what he wants? When he doesn't get what he wants. But Ahithophel wanted David for himself. Ahithophel's vengeance demanded David's death. It demanded justification. Whenever we want to get back at somebody, isn't that what we want? We want to be justified because that person has done us wrong, right? That's exactly right. That's what we want. That's what vengeance wants. It wants to be justified for a wrong that was done. Ahithophel's vengeful spirit was damaging his testimony. He was a man that served God. He was a man that went to the temple of God. He was a man that everybody knew was a trusted man of God. But now, here he was given bad advice for his own selfish gain. And not only that, but he was a man who was willing to go to another man's neck and kill him because of what he had done to him and his family. But he was supposed to be a man that everybody looked up to. He was a man that went through the motions, just like maybe some of us here, just going through the motions, but yet we still have that bitter spirit that we have within ourselves. And I tell you what, you better be careful. You better be careful, because what's going to happen is if that right opportunity comes along, that right opportunity comes along, and that's what Ahithophel was waiting on. Ahithophel knew he couldn't do nothing with David. He knew that he couldn't do nothing with him, but when the right opportunity comes along, that was all it took. All it took was the right opportunity for Ahithophel to turn on David. That's all it took. And if you don't take care of that root of bitterness in your life, all it's going to take is the right opportunity for you to do the same thing, for us to do the same thing that Ahithophel did. And it was damaging his testimony. It was darkening his heart. When we have a vengeful spirit against somebody, how in the world can we be right with an almighty loving God? We can't. And so it was darkening his heart. Man, it was darkening his mind. Man, he wasn't even thinking straight. You know, when you have a vengeful spirit, one of the things that you think about the most is how you're going to get back at that person. That's exactly what you do. You don't think about, oh, Jesus, how I love you and want to worship you today. No. You think about, what can I do to get back at them today? What can I do to get back at them and make them pay for what they've done to me? And how in the world can we have a hearts and minds right with God? And how can we be, you know, if you're not right here, you're not going to be right here. See what I'm saying? We have to have a vertical relationship for us to have a horizontal fellowship. Okay? And so we got to get that right before any of this can be right. So he was damaging his testimony. Man, his heart was being darkened. His ears were being deafened to the voice of God. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was probably speaking to his heart. Listen, you need to get rid of that. Don't you think about it. I know he done you wrong. But what does the Bible say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Bible tells us that his eyes search to and fro. He knows the good and the evil of men. He knows what's going on. And so that's what we have to understand, is that God knows what's going on there. He knows what you've been through. He knows what so-and-so said. He knows that when they've done this. Oh, can you believe that? Oh, can you believe it? And the Tyro lines start burning on fire. Oh, yeah. He knows about all that. Yeah. And so, see, what happens is whenever we harbor this unforgiving, bitter, vengeful spirit, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, and what we end up doing is we put ourselves in a prison. We put ourselves in a prison. Because you know what happens? The person that you're mad at, they're just smiling. They're just running around. They're all happy. But you know what you are? This is what you are. Oh, and they're just happy as they can be. You put yourself in a prison. Jesus taught that in Matthew 18 about an unforgiving spirit. Man, don't put yourself in prison. Well, you wouldn't go down to Charlottesville and say, hey, can I be put in jail today? No, you wouldn't do that. Why do it in your life? Why do it in your spiritual life? And so that's what happens. Man, he was damaging his testimony, darkening his heart. Man, it was deafening his ears to the voice of God. And it was distracting him from the will of God and God's purpose in his life. How could he fulfill God's purpose in his life if all he wanted to do was get back at Ahithophel? I mean, get back at David. How could Ahithophel fulfill what God wanted him to do in his life if all he could think about was getting back at David? How could he do that? You can't. And so if you harbor a vengeful, bitter, unforgiving spirit in your life, you'll be so distracted. You won't be thinking about nothing else. Man, you won't be thinking about church. You won't be thinking about all these, how you can honor and glorify God and how you can serve God. Man, all you're thinking about is that person. That's all you're thinking about is them. And so it'll distract you from fulfilling God's will and purpose in your life. And man, don't let that take place. And we're just about done. Fifth thing is, and this is the last one, the fifth truth is it delivers despair. It delivers despair. Look at chapter 17, verse 23. Chapter 17, verse 23. I want you to see what happened. When Absalom did not give Ahithophel what he wanted. He heard his advice, but he took somebody else's advice. He took Hushai's advice. And Hushai said, you know what? What you need to do is, don't you let Ahithophel go down there and take care of himself. If you want the people to get behind you, you need to take care of him yourself, Absalom. And so Absalom said, you know what? I think you're right. So I'm not going to listen to what Ahithophel said. Well, when Ahithophel found out that his revenge that he was going to have just slipped out of his hands. I mean, he had it, and then it was just, and it was just gone. And when he found out it wasn't there no more, you know what happened to him? You know what he did? Oh, he went all out. He went to the extreme. Look at the verse. Verse 23. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city. And he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. What a sad end. What a sad end. You know what that tells me? All that he was living for was an opportunity to get back at David. That's all he was living for. And when he didn't have that no more, he didn't think there was any. What's the use in living now? What's the use in living? All he wanted to do was for the opportunity to arise for him to show his hate and for him to show his vengeance toward the man that had done his family wrong. And when that opportunity then slipped out of his hands and he wasn't going to have it no more, he killed himself. That's all he had to live for. That's all he wanted to do. Let me tell you something. A vengeful, bitter spirit won't just destroy yourself, but it'll destroy and hurt lots of folks around you. And whoever would have thought that David's sin with Bathsheba would have done all this? Whoever would have thought that? But it did. But it did. And we have to be careful because our sins, we don't just live to ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. Our sins affect not only us, but everybody that we're around and everybody that comes in contact with us. So we must be careful. You say, well, how in the world am I supposed to kill this root that is in my life? How in the world am I supposed to get rid of it? Well, the Bible tells us that we need to give place to wrath. Give place to wrath. You say, well, what does that mean? I know I'm going way over. But what is the Bible? The Bible says to give place to wrath. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means to make sure that your wrath has enough room to fume. That's what that means. You say, what do you mean has enough room to fume? Have you ever seen a pot that has gotten so hot that it is boiling over and spilling everywhere? You ever seen that? Man, that thing just got so hot, man, it's just bubbling up. The top of it's blowing up and everything's just spilling out. And it's just running all over and just making a mess all over the place. Burning everything that it touches. Well, what Paul is trying to say here is that make sure that when you get hot, there's enough room in the pot so it don't boil over. That's what he's trying to say. Give place unto wrath, man. Make sure there's enough room in your life that when somebody does something against you and you get so mad that you have some wrath and you feel that, man, you feel it building up in you, you better make sure you got enough room for it. Because if not, what's going to happen is it's going to boil out and it's going to spill over and it's going to hurt you and everybody else. So it says you need to give place. Give place to wrath. Give place to it. And then I'll close with this. The famous words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love your enemies. How about that one? How about that one? Yeah. Love your enemies. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I've had many a man come up to me and ask me to pray for this and pray for that, but I have yet to have one man come up to me and ask me to pray for somebody that was an enemy of his. Pray for an enemy. If there's somebody here this morning that has a vengeful spirit and you got it towards somebody or you know that somebody has it towards you, what you need to do is you need to try to get that mess right as best as you can before God and with them. And you need to pray and ask God, man, that He'll work something out there. And it may just be that you need to approach somebody. Maybe you've done them wrong. Maybe you need to tell them, look, hey, I'm sorry. If there's something going on here, if there's something happened here, I just want to tell you I apologize. After you've done that, whether they want to make restitution with you is up to them. But you have done your part. But you have done your part. Whatever it is, get it right today before we take part in the Lord's Supper. Okay? All right. Everybody, well, stand please, head bowed, eyes closed. Maybe it is that you're here this morning.